producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, ahead of the time that we did this show, we asked our listeners to participate in our question bank, in our forums at forum.theparacast.com. They've asked a number of fascinating questions, some we've already mentioned, particularly in the first part of the show where we were talking about the bloodline of the gods. But Kirk Collins tells me there's a whole bunch of questions about Men in Black of Nick Redfern. So, Kirk, why don't you bring some to our attention?
Well, Nick's kind of thrown a curve by talking about the origin of the Men in Black, because a couple of these were about if they were humans. So we're going to leave that behind. But this one is from Burnt State, and he asks, the Men in Black are oddball characters in out-of-time clothing, strange mannerisms, black cars, etc., like they're trapped in a 50s gangster movie. And he says, are they trying to fit in but failing miserably? Is this intentional, or did they not get the fashion update? You know, what about the appearance they've chosen?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting thing. And I mean, you'd imagine if somebody wants to silence people on the UFO issue, they would go out of their way not to look conspicuous. They were, that was the last thing they would want to be. But they do go out of their way to look memorable, chilling, and weird. You know, you can look at it from different perspectives. Maybe they do that because that whole imagery of, like, the black suit, the fedora, you know, the whole gangster look, the whole sort of film noir look, you know, from 50s gangster movies and shadowy streets and that kind of thing. It obviously leaves an impression. It's like almost like an iconic image that, you know, you can kind of find going back to like Humphrey Bogart movies and things like that. And I think it works in the sense that it works better than just somebody turning up in a suit or jeans and a T-shirt. So I think part of it is done for effect. But in saying that, if we're looking at something where, as I said, in some of these cases, there clearly seems to be a psychological angle, not where I think people are, you know, crazy, nuts, or fabricating it, but where there's some almost like an altered state situation going on. It's almost as if, like I mentioned earlier on, perhaps this phenomena, whatever the UFO phenomenon is, the genuinely unexplained part of it, maybe it manifests in certain specific archetypes, and perhaps one of those is this sort of shadowy, weird, fedora-wearing entity. I mean, you can find very similar things to the Men in Black. I mean, one of them is a more like a ghostly phenomenon called the Hat Man. You know, books have been written about this, and they look like the Men in Black, but they're sort of like these so-called shadow people that people talk about, like a silhouette of a man in black, but wearing a fedora. You know, you can find a lot of parallels and overtones, so I think, to sort of come back to the question, I don't think they're not deliberately unable to blend in. I think it's the nature of the phenomenon that that's how it manifests regardless. You know, it has no reason or rhyme when it comes to time frames, fashions, or anything else. That is what it is. But the big question is, what is it? Is it internal? Is it external? If it's internal, why does everybody sort of report this same archetypal imagery? If it's external, you know, why did it pick up on that? You know, maybe it picked up on the subconscious angle of the more we believe in the Men in Black, you know, the more that it manifests in that fashion. Maybe that explains why, you know, the UFO phenomenon changes so much, but we still have specific archetypes, like, you know, we have the Phantom Airships, then we have the Foo Fighters, the Ghost Rockets, Flying Saucers, then Flying Triangles. And with the entities, we had the Space Brothers, then we had the Hairy Dwarfs, then we had the Greys, then the Reptilians. You know, people sometimes say to me, well, they're skeptical. They say, well, you know, these certain forms, they're changing all the time, so it's got to be just people's imagination. What if it isn't? What if it's the phenomena changing or creating certain rigid archetypes as our views change? And maybe the Men in Black are one of them, you know, so they're permanently in that mode of the old style clothing and fedora when they appear or materialize, however you want to word it.
Are we somehow bringing the Men in Black to us as opposed to being confronted by them?
Well, that's actually a good point. The idea that, you know, we see something and then as a result, you know, perhaps we put the thought out. Sometimes people think, oh, what am I going to get visited by the government? You know, that kind of thing. I don't think that happens a lot. However, I do think there's no doubt that, in my view, the vast majority of Men in Black cases aren't based around threatening the person for the sake of threatening them. It's almost like a stage play is being played out for the benefit of the person. It's like the Men in Black are actors, and almost as if they're not really self-aware. You know, it's like they're players in a computer game or something, where they're inserted into the game, that they become part of the game, but they're not actually living, self-aware entities. And you could find that in so many Men in Black stories where time and again you see clearly that the experience is not based around somebody knocking on the door and coming around to threaten the person. The threat is part of it, but it's like a charade. It's like the whole thing is played out for the not on the benefit of the Men in Black to achieve an aim of silencing them. It's being done for the benefit of the witness for reasons we don't really understand. It is like a big stage play going on.
We had a question from Spectre 73, and he wanted to know if cultural specifics influence accounts of Men in Black from state to state or country to country, and are the reports of the phenomena for countries such as India, Africa, or China?
Well, that's a good question. In terms of the first part, what I found is that there are certain interesting issues that, you know, culturally are different. For example, in the US, you know, the Men in Black typically are seen in these old-style Cadillac cars, you know, sort of these cool-looking ones with the sharp-thin tails and things like that. So you have those. Now, I've got some cases, and this gets into really bizarre territory, where people have said they've seen these cars and they've sort of like faded away in the street, you know, as if that was part of a vision. Now, in England, the Men in Black, a lot of them are very similar. They're sort of creepy, weird, and they ask strange questions, and they, you know, they dress odd, and they look odd. But they, in England, they drive black Jaguar cars. You know, you don't see Cadillacs in the UK, which is understandable, but, you know, so you do have sort of geographical differences. Now, in terms of location, in relation to the physical appearance of the Men in Black, there actually really aren't that many differences. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. In 2005, I went to Puerto Rico on one of my many expeditions looking for the Chupacabra. And this is actually an expedition I went on with Paul Kimball's Red Star Films Company of Canada. Paul was making a documentary for Canada Space Channel on animal mutilations, and Paul wanted to film a section on the Chupacabra. So we went out there for about, I think, 8 or 9 days. Paul might correct me if I'm wrong, but it was something like that anyway. And when we were there, we interviewed a guy who's in relation to a story where supposedly he'd seen a Chupacabra, and the next day, in the middle of the El Yunque rainforest or on the fringes of it, these sort of Man in Black and a woman in black turned up, both in black suits, looking very pale and emotionless, you know, wearing suits and business suits in terms of the woman, in like 9,500 degree Puerto Rican heat, you know, in this little village bordering on the rainforest. And he described them as like, you know, looking sickly and ill. So in other words, you know, Puerto Rico is a totally different culture to the U.S., to the U.K., but the Men in Black, and in this case the woman in black, was described as the same. Like, you know, you wanted to feed them a good meal and, you know, get them in the sun to tan the skin a bit.
And but you don't have any Chinese reports, but, well, you know, Keel talked about
Actually, you do get those. I get quite a few of those, you know, where people have said they, you know, there's like a Chinese or a bit of a Japanese appearance to them. But what's interesting is it's generally around the eyes, you know, in the sense that it's just the eyes. It's not, you know, the rest of sort of the, you know, the physical appearance at all. So in that sense, you know, it's kind of odd. One of the other issues that I find time and time again is that the witnesses say that what is sort of particularly creepy is that they're not able to age the Men in Black. You know, they look at them and they're not sure if they're looking at somebody who's 35 and who might actually look a bit older than they are, or somebody who's 60 and for some reason looks actually really young.
Let's do our break at the age factor.
Okay.
That's the age factor. Nick Redfern talking about Men in Black. Kurt Collins is our guest co-host. With Gene and Kurt, you're in...
Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
The human body is more than 60% water. Your brain and muscles are 75% water. And your blood is 92% water. Water is vital to your body, and alkalizing your water is the key to keep it running at its best. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops keep your entire body healthy, boosts energy, promotes weight loss, and even fights cancer. Call 800-518-7615 or go to AlkaVision.com to find out more. That's ALKAVision.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zero. Out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
That's the Porky Pig Paracast, okay?
All right.
I don't know. I think if we get him started, it's going to be a pretty strange show.
I used to do them a lot at one time. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Nick Redfern's here talking about Men in Black. Answering questions from your listeners, as voiced by our guest co-host, Kurt Collins. You were continuing with this story, Nick Redfern.
Yeah, how the Men in Black, they you know, they look weird because it's hard to guess their age, you know. A couple of people actually told independently of each other said that they look like somebody who, you know, you see some of these Hollywood disasters with plastic surgery where they've just gone too far, or, you know, they've gone too far with Botox and they just look, they don't even look properly human anymore.
Did the Men in Black invent Botox?
Well, actually, if they do, you know, they should be rich with all the money, I guess, they get from all these sort of old crones who want to look 35 again or whatever. But
I'll tell you a story. I took something related to that called Restylane to mm-hmm. I wanted to look younger.
Uh-huh.
And I developed a side effect in my mouth that made it difficult to eat. It was like a little pimple or something. And the crazy doctor, and I'll say that, and the doctor will not be named. I won't name her. But she denied this happened. But mm-hmm. I do know that as soon as the effects of that medication wore off, the pimple in mm-hmm. my mouth that made it difficult to eat disappeared. It was a horrible time. Let me go on. Botox is totally different from Restylane.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that is how people describe them. I remember one of them, a woman told me she got really creeped. I actually have never published this one because, you know, I don't publish stories if people don't want me to. But, you know, she was okay about me talking about it, providing I didn't sort of reveal her name and, you know, town and all that business. But, you know, it's just a small aside. But she said that she looked at this guy and she was really creeped out because she said his skin looked like the skin of a newborn baby. You know, it was sort of like pudgy and squashy, you know, and but totally smooth. He kind of looked like, she said, like almost his skin was like an adult baby, you know, which probably would look really weird. You know, so you get a lot of strange things like that, you know, I'm still on that question of the appearance. They just look unsettling is probably the best way to describe them.
We had a question from Goggs about this 2012 film from the hotel lobby footage. I'm sure you've seen that one, mm-hmm. where the two men in black stroll in and it's caught on video. I'm sure you remember that. Did you... Did you investigate that story or are you familiar with it?
Well, I did, but, you know, I mean, I've looked at that quite a lot and I've spoken to a lot of people. So the prevailing theory was just sort of some sort of viral thing or, you know, just to sort of, you know, mix things up and see what the response would be. You know, I've never been able to sort of trace it back to a point where the person's come forward and we can confirm this or we can confirm that. And, you know, the film is intriguing, but one of the reasons it's intriguing is because of, you know, the lack of the entire story as to how it came to be. That's one of the issues I had with it. So, yeah, it's interesting, but I don't really, you know, put much faith in it in terms of actually showing real Men in Black.
Do you think there are any genuine photographs of the experience?
Yeah, I mean, in the Real Men in Black, I reproduce this picture. It's quite a famous one, actually. You might already know about it. I'm sure Gene does. That Tim Beckley and Jim Moseley took back in the 60s in Jersey City when they got a call from Mary Robinson, wife of Jack Robinson, who were, you know, big players in the UFO scene in Jersey City in the 60s. And this creepy-looking guy in a black suit and a fedora was stood outside their apartment. Well, I should say outside. But over the road in the recess of a doorway watching Mary every morning while Jack was at work. And eventually she phoned Tim and Jim and said, you know, he's been here like 4 days. You know, normally most Men in Black cases, they turn up once and they're gone. So Tim and Jim raced over to Jersey City early rush hour and they saw this guy stood exactly where Mary said he'd been for the last 4 days running in the morning. They'd snap this picture, and you can find it online, you know, a lot of sites. And it clearly is a man in black in the sense that he's got a black long trench coat on, he's got a black fedora on and sunglasses. And he does have this sort of almost like weird blank expression, like a zombie-like expression on his face. And he does look out of place, just stood there rigid, face forward. So I actually think that could be a real picture of a man in black. It's because when you look at it, it is just kind of odd. There's something about it that sort of provokes a sense of being out of place and not being quite right somehow. Yeah, I think that one actually could be a real one. But then again, you know, if a lot of these experiences do occur in like an altered state of mind with something that is at least partly sort of visionary in nature, it might almost be impossible to get a photograph. That might explain why the MIB are so elusive, you know, and why they seemingly vanish off the doorstep almost immediately when they're gone. You know, the idea that it's a sort of a shift in reality, that kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of cases like that that make me strongly suspect we are dealing with something along those lines. I mean, the most classic example is if you look at the case of Peter Rojovitz. He was someone who had a, you know, deep interest in UFOs, a very down-to-earth, logical character, and he had this weird experience in a library where this man in black suddenly turned up and, you know, the library suddenly went quiet and he couldn't see anybody else in the library. He was totally alone with this man in black who started asking questions about UFOs. And Peter's experience does sound very much like it occurred in some sort of weird altered state of mind. But again, is it internal? Is it external? And why did the figure appear as a man in black if it was just purely internal, you know?
Well, the point to mention here, too, is that in the case of the person seen by Mary Robinson, photographed by Tim Beckley and Jim Mosley, it was a real person. Now, we don't know, other than Mary's testimony, if this guy was really strange. You know, we're in a part of Jersey City, in a middle-class neighborhood. They have elements of organized crime there. You never know what this person really was.
No, you don't. And that's one of the problems is, you know, this sort of imagery. I mean, all the guys dressed in black suits or dark suits and fedoras back in the 50s. There's a few cases I've found, and I can't prove this, you know, just my suspicion, is that I wouldn't be surprised if occasionally, you know, some sort of weird psyop, some weird psychological operation might have gone on where, you know, maybe some agency or some black budget group maybe occasionally mimicked the legends of the real Men in Black and thought, hey, you know, we may not know who these Men in Black are, but we can use the legends of them to our advantage. And, you know, maybe in some cases that's actually happened where there's been mimicking of the Men in Black by somebody else, you know, to achieve an aim or a goal, which then makes things even more confusing if you've got real Men in Black and you've got some sort of psyop thing going on to mimic the Men in Black for another reason, you know. So that's one of the reasons I find it so sort of fascinating, because, you know, it's not like an either-or thing. There's so many different scenarios and theories and weird cases and, you know, and fascinating cases. But as I said, it's, you know, the movies are entertaining, but they're as far away as you can get from what people actually report, apart from the color of the suit, you know.
Sure. We have Nick Redfern talking Men in Black. Kurt Collins is our guest co-host. With Gene and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Chris O'Brien is on special assignment. Nick Redfern is talking about his latest Men in Black book. Our guest co-host is Kurt Collins. We've got more questions, don't we? Kurt, do you want to finish what you were saying, Nick, first, and then let's go to the questions.
No, I think that kind of wraps it up, really. I think I'm going to send that.
Right. Now, of course, it's interesting here, before we go on, about the transition here, because the image of Men in Black from the comic book and the movie is a throwback to Albert Bender before Flying Saucers and the Three Men. It was really...
Yeah.
Agents who came in here mm-hmm. to protect some kind of secret.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Men in Black gets to be far more complicated. And that's why we've got so many questions about it in the question bank at forum.theparacast.com. Kurt, you got some more?
This connects with what Nick was saying just a moment ago, or his question about it. It's from a sign flosser, and the question is about Nazis and a Men in Black connection. He says, according to John Keel, many of the early Men in Black reports described them as having German accents and trying to squelch discussions of possible Earth-based saucer technology. It would seem that at one time human agents were actively trying to convince the public that UFOs were piloted by extraterrestrials. What do you think about the connection between German Nazis, possibly Paperclip, and the Men in Black?
You know, in terms of the whole Paperclip thing, I mean, that's sort of like an entire sort of subculture on its own almost. You know, I mean, when the German scientists were brought over, the ones that the Russians didn't grab, a lot of people forget about that. You know, the ones that were brought over to the United States, you know, there's no doubt that a lot of them were brilliant. They were Nazis, you know, they were scum. You know, sometimes you have to sort of do a deal with the devil, because otherwise they would have all fallen into the hands of the Russians, which would have been even worse. But in saying that, you know, they were as bad as they were, you know, and they knew what was going on in the war. They still were brilliant scientists. So I don't think we can rule out the scenario of suddenly we have this influx of scientists and suddenly people are seeing a lot of weird things in the sky. You know, I think there's clearly a lot of genuine UFO cases from the late 40s, really high caliber cases. But does that mean that some of them may not have been sort of secret technologies being developed, or new technologies, I should say? I think some of them probably were, particularly with advances in rocketry and things like that, with them bringing the V-2 rockets over. I mean, who knows what else was brought over. So I think there's a connection there. Now, as far as the Men in Black connection to all this is concerned, yeah, I mean, Kiel actually did hit on something when he talked about the German angle, but it sort of goes beyond that, because I've spoken to at least, I don't know the exact figure, but I mean, I would hazard a guess at like 14, 15 people maybe, who told me that the Men in Black had weird accents that they couldn't quite place. I remember one memorably said it was as if somebody who was completely foreign to the English language had almost learned it parrot fashion, as if they were asking the questions, but they had no understanding of what the question was. In other words, you know, if you heard somebody speak in Italian, like a 10-word sentence, and you kept playing it over and over, you could mimic that 10-word sentence, but you'd have no understanding of what you were saying. You would just be repeating it, you know, like a parrot. The witness said that they felt that the questions were being asked in such a strange accent and put in like the emphasis on in a way that you wouldn't normally put the emphasis on. It was as if the Man in Black actually didn't really know what he was saying. And it was, like I said, you couple that with a slightly off accent, which is sort of neither English or American or Irish, but it's in English. It sounds too straight almost, you know, as if it's been learned rather than it being a natural kind of thing. So you do get that, admittedly, yeah.
It's almost like an actor doing phonetically a foreign language version of a movie. As a matter of fact, there was one song that was very popular in the 60s called Black is Black from a Spanish group called Los Brovos. And my understanding, and somebody will tell me I'm totally wrong, that they couldn't speak English. So they sang it in English because the words were written phonetically. And they had no idea what they were singing.
Well, that's kind of strange, but it is the same sort of thing. You know, but that also comes back to what I said about how so many of these events seem as if they're being played out for the benefit, won't say the benefit because there's no positive outcome for the witness, but they are being played out for the witness. That the goal is to present some sort of scenario to the person. The threat, in other words, is like I won't say it's fake, but the threat is part of like the parlor game, or it's part of the stage show that they perform for reasons we don't really understand.
There was a question about that reminded me of what you said earlier about the Chupacabra. Now, and I wanted to know if Men in Black are most often connected with UFOs, but do they appear in association with other things, or sometimes they're just spontaneous Men in Black appearances?
Well, actually, that's a really good question, because a lot of people think it is just UFOs. I mean, I mentioned Peter Beckman, you know, and him and his friend in the late 60s when they were doing Mescaline and the Men in Black turn up. Well, there was no UFO component there. I've got several cases of where people were visited by the Men in Black and where there was a UFO component, but allegedly in the immediate hours and days afterwards, they experienced violent poltergeist activity in the home. I've got other cases where people claim to be using Ouija boards and they woke up in the middle of the night with these shadowy fedora-wearing shadow-type figures watching them, and they felt with hindsight that using the Ouija boards, they'd sort of opened up a doorway to and allowed something through. Now, of course, all that is dependent on whether you accept that Ouija boards have the ability to do that, you know. But what the witnesses are saying, in other words, is that it's not always that there's a UFO component involved. And very often in these sort of middle-of-the-night encounters, when somebody sees the shadowy fedora-wearing hat man, there usually isn't a UFO component. That's the weird thing, you know. And, well, I say it's weird. It's not weird. It's just that people often associate the Men in Black with UFOs, and when there isn't a UFO component, people get puzzled. But certainly in the most of the reports, there is a UFO angle, but I would say 10, 15, 20% maybe. The hazard is a guess there, but something around those figures. Of all the reports I get, there is no UFO aspect to it, but there is some other weird aspect to it.
Okay, by the way, I have a clarification here about some folklore. The lead singer of Los Bravos was actually German. His name, Mike Kogel. All right? Michael Volker Kogel, born in Berlin, 25 April 1944. So we assume the guy could at least speak German, possibly Spanish, and possibly English. Who knows? I don't know where this started.
German again. Well, before we get too far away from the last topic, the flip of this was a question from Goggs McKay. He said, Nick, do you know of any case that involved men in black being actually seen in a UFO or beside one, you know, where there was a direct connection, not where they came afterwards?
Actually, very few, which is interesting in itself. I've actually got one. There's one case in the book where a guy did see it was in a classic abduction story, and he did see two guys dressed in black suits on board the craft. Now, I think that's actually the only case of all three books I've done on the Men in Black. I think that's actually the only case I've ever mentioned where the Men in Black were seen on board the UFO. Almost exclusively, you know, it's in the person's home, or occasionally it's, you know, they're being followed down the street. There are some odd cases where, you know, they photograph the person's home. But I wouldn't be surprised in those cases, if it's where, for example, you know, some sort of intimidation, it might be some sort of psyop type thing to freak a person out. But with the really sort of weirder Men in Black angle, I can only think of that one I published in the new book, where they have been seen on board a craft. Otherwise, you know, it's just primarily in the home.
Let's continue with Men in Black, Personal Stories and Eerie Adventures. Sounds eerie. We have the eerie Nick Redfern and the kind of normal sort of Kurt Collins and the who knows what Gene Steinberg. With Gene and with Kurt, you're in...
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting goberkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Okay, open your mouth and say, ah.
Ah.
When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor-recommended Say Ah Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue, and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical-grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to SayAhNow.com. SayAhNow.com, the new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Ricky LeBlanc, admitted in Mass only. Sokolov Law, LLC, Chestnut Hill, Mass. Ken Levin, responsible attorney in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Greg Hobby, New Jersey. The choice of lawyer is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertisements. While this firm maintains joint responsibility, most cases of this type refer to other attorneys for principal responsibility. If you know what mesothelioma is, you or someone you love has likely been impacted by this devastating cancer. You may be entitled to compensation. Call Sokolov Law today. 1-800-218-HELP. The only known cause of mesothelioma is asbestos exposure. Thousands of hardworking men and women, including many U.S. veterans and industrial workers, have been diagnosed with mesothelioma because manufacturers knew the dangers but put profits ahead of people. An estimated $30 billion in court-ordered trust has been set aside to pay money to asbestos victims. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, call now. You may be entitled to receive compensation without ever going to court or filing a lawsuit. Call for a free legal consultation at 1-800-218-HELP. Help. That's 1-800-218-HELP.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with the Anthem Foundation. Premature birth is the leading cause of death of babies and disabilities for children. That's why we support the March of Dimes to help mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment and outreach to help moms during their pregnancy and give every baby a healthy start in life. Learn how you can help at marchofdimes.org.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Nick Redfern channeling his inner Dalek, right? I don't want to have him say exterminate. I don't want to do it. I can do it, sort of, but it really does a number on your throat. And I think they do it with a machine over at the Doctor Who production house. Don't they use a machine to create that?
I have no idea. I don't actually watch Doctor Who, but I do know what the Daleks are.
All right. Actually, Daleks are satired from Robbie the Robot, actually. They kind of like, you know, that's the evil twin of Robbie the Robot. That's what they are. Kirk Collins is here. Nick Redfern. We're putting together Men in Black stories. Let me kind of cut to the chase here, Nick. Are there any Men in Black cases where you think they really are government agents or the result of some kind of government operation?
Well, yeah. I mean, some of them I don't think are even sinister. You know, I mean, if you look back at the 50s, for example, I've got, through the Freedom of Information Act, tons of files on, you know, the FBI's now declassified files on the contactees. I got, for example, George Adamski's, Van Tassel's, George Hunt Williamson, Truman Bethlehem, Frank Stranger's. I got all their FBI files. And in many cases, they were interviewed personally by the FBI on three or four occasions. You know, they traveled out to meet Van Tassel several times at Giant Rock. That's all in the files. Same with Adamski. So in other words, to get to the point of your question, some cases, I think, which are perceived as Men in Black cases from decades ago may well be have been visits from sort of like plainclothes FBI people or Air Force or CIA even, interviewing people about certain UFO cases they've had, because in those years the fashion was black suits and fedoras, and then years later people watch the, you know, when they're in the 60s or 70s, they watch the Men in Black movies and they think, wow, that's just like those guys that visited me back in 1957. They wore black suits and black fedoras, etc., etc. But they weren't real Men in Black. They had the same sort of outfit, and they're asking questions about UFOs, but it was more of a legitimate official study. So I think some things that have been interpreted as Men in Black actually do have a legitimate, regular government angle to them. And I say that, that's why I brought up the issue of, you know, we can prove through the Freedom of Information files that people like Hunt Williamson, Van Tassel, Adamski were all visited. So there may be dozens of others who were legitimately visited by people in fedoras and black suits. there are a few cases I've got that do lead me to think that, like I said, the Men in Black motif may have been adopted in a few weird psyop cases. Not very often, you know, I don't think this happens all the time. I think the cover would have been blown, but I think there could have been a couple of cases possibly done to sort of sow the seeds even more of the weirdness, you know, so if people start talking about these things, people just laugh at them, you know, and say, well, you've, I mean, particularly in today's world, you know, people say, well, you've been watching too many Men in Black movies. So I think it may have been done as an effect deliberately. But ironically, you know, it may well be the case that whoever's doing this is aware of the real Men in Black legend, but has no clue as to what is behind that legend. They just know it works for them to actually exploit it now and again.
Just to clarify the dating of Men in Black, the first movie, Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones, and Vincent D'Onofrio playing that insect kind of guy. This is before he did Law & Order, Criminal Intent. 1997, okay?
Wow.
And the last movie featured Josh Brolin as the young Tommy Lee Jones. Don't ask me to explain how that worked. Men in Black, the Galaxy Protectors. Any more questions, Kirk Collins, about Men in Black?
I think we pretty well covered that. There are a few questions about other topics, including about if Nick himself is paranormal. Mr. Fabuli asks, you are so prolific and hardworking. Nick, do you think there's any possibility that you and the others like you are unwitting psychic vampires who are drawing energy off the general populace, who as a result are sluggish and ineffectual like us?
I am kind of pale. I'm not sort of that, you know, I'm tall, but I'm skinny, and I do dress in black, you know, but that doesn't make me a psychic vampire. People often ask me questions like that, you know, about writing and putting books out and writing articles, but there's actually no mystery. I mean, I realize the question was asked in jest. There's actually nothing that bizarre about it, really, in the sense that, you know, I'm very structured what I do. You know, I sort of get up at 7 every morning, at breakfast, and I tend to write sort of 8 to 5, Monday to Friday, and then I stop, like I said, you know, I'm a big one for having a normal life and a good social life, evenings and weekends. So I pretty much rigidly stick, you know, as close 8 to 5 as I can. I like to keep it job hours. Now, I wouldn't want people to think that what I do is like some cynical job. You know, I have a passion for everything I write about in this field. You know, and I try and put out stuff that I hope people will enjoy and appreciate and which will provoke debate. You know, I don't just do it for the sake of doing it. But when you're doing sort of 8 to 5, Monday to Friday, you know, 9 hours a day, Monday to Friday, and you're structured and you sit down and you do it, you know, you type the words every single day, 9 hours a day, 5 days a week, you can get a lot done. But if you apply yourself and you're structured, and that's what I do. You know, I mean, I have some friends, they get inspired, they like to work through the night. You know, that's not me. I don't like working sort of midnight till 6 or something like that. I like to keep work hours, you know, and if you do that, but it works for me. You know, I get up, I wake up, I'm wide awake, and I just crank it all out, you know, till 5 o'clock. When you're doing that, like I said, 5 days a week, you can get a lot done. It's, you know, there's nothing sort of magical or weird about it. It's just, you provide you know what you're doing and what you're writing about, you can achieve a lot in that time.
It's discipline.
Yeah, it's discipline. And of course, you know, it's like, I mean, I enjoy the job I do, but freelance writing, I mean, is one of the most precarious jobs out there, professions out there. And a lot of people don't realize that I would say a good 60% of all the work I do has nothing to do with paranormal writing at all. I do, most of 2009, I spent work doing website content for a Dallas attorney's office, which handled medical lawsuits. You know, today I do like a lot of editing and proofreading services for authors on all sorts of things. Again, mostly nothing at all to do with anything even vaguely paranormal. I've also ghost-written some very famous UFO books, which people think have been written by the author, and they were actually written by Nick Redfern, you know, and I've just got to thank you in the acknowledgements, and which contractually I'm not allowed to name which books those are.
Aww.
But I also do a lot of regular newspaper and magazine articles. I do a lot of writing for music magazines, concert reviews, and things like that. I mean, I've had a few people, what I call uninformed and just basically, you know, scummy people who say, well, Nick does this for the money. I can assure them that there's no way I could earn a living no way at all from writing books about UFOs, Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, etc. I just couldn't do it. I'll be broke in 3 months.
I know about writing production line books.
Yeah.
And the money's not there. Believe me, folks, there are rare, rare bestsellers, but just the regular journeyman books. Great quality that Nick is doing there, but he's not rolling in it. Now, maybe Brad Steiger did better because he wrote 4 million books, but...
You know, I work full-time and can earn a full-time living as a writer going into a lot of different areas, but I couldn't earn a living from writing about what we call the paranormal. And a lot of people I know, they say, well, how do you do it? And I can't. And I explain to them, well, you're not diversifying and doing regular journalism as well. You're trying to earn a living from writing a book on Area 51, and that's not going to work, you know.
There's maybe one in a million that does. Nick Redfern, where can our listeners find more of the stuff you do?
Well, my blog, if they Google Nick Redfern plus World of Whatever, and the address is Nick Redfern Fortean, F-O-R-T-E-A-N, nickredfern14.blogspot.com, or you can find me at Facebook and Twitter as well. And the books are all available on Amazon and most of them are off the shelves in Barnes & Noble as well.
And by the way, print books are staging a resurgence. Just to let you know
that.
Absolutely, yay. Kurt Collins, you have a blog. Tell us about it.
Yes, you can find me at blueglorylines.com.
And you can find us on Twitter. We're known as the Paracast. Look for 2 Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. And don't forget to subscribe to the Paracast Plus to get the ad-free version of this show and our exclusive After the Paracast podcast. Accept no substitutes. Learn more at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. 1-year membership gets you Secrets of the Mysterious Valley by Chris O'Brien, and the 5-year membership gets you Stalking the Tricksters, too. Plus.theparacast.com. Chris O'Brien was in special assignment this week. He'll be back next week. Nick Redfern. Oh, it's been fun. We can do 10 more shows and not cover it all. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
All right. Thanks, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoBite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendivite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendivite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. Extendivite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendivite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendivite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.